something. I want you to be listening for who was instrumental in introducing our dear brother here to the Lord. And we'll talk about that after he gives us his testimony.
Well, I'm so thankful to be here with you again today, and love you guys. Praise God.
Love you too.
Wish Pastor Willie was with us.
Yes.
He's phenomenal. I had the opportunity to be with him about a week ago.
Yes.
And he's just a great guy. So
we like him too.
Yeah. So hello, Pastor Willie, if you're listening.
Yeah, more than likely he is.
So, well, I'm Jewish, and I came to faith when I was 24, and everyone in my family is Jewish. I don't have anybody in my heritage that's not Jewish. I recently did the Ancestry.com thing, and it didn't even offer me anything else. It just said 100%. There's no 0.1% of anything else. It's who I am. But I graduated Hebrew High School, and my rabbi that bar mitzvahed me, who led the congregation, was the vice president of the World Jewish Council.
Wow.
So I really did grow up Jewish. But when I was near the end of high school, I started to play with marijuana.
Okay.
And I didn't, you know, people don't make plans. They don't plan on messing their life up. But
right.
I did. But God has a way of turning things around.
He does. He's a God of a second chance,
really
a third
is.
Chance, a fourth chance.
And that's why they call it being born again.
That's right. That's right.
So
recreate.
So what happened was near the end of high school, I started to do that, and then I went off to college, and my life really just fell apart. And I ended up dropping out of college, went home, and my stepdad, he said to me, "Greg, why don't you join the military? It'll make a man out of you."
Okay.
So I didn't want to do that, but I thought to myself, at least I can move out of the house because, you know, at this point. So I joined the Air Force.
Don't feel bad. I didn't join the military. I'm officially a chicken.
So actually, it turned out I loved it.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, and my dad was right. It did, as it were, make a man out of me. I did grow up, but not in the way that he wanted.
Ah.
Okay, because what happened was... there was an officer who befriended me, and he invited me to church, and I didn't really want to go, but I felt like I had to go,
right?
Because he was being kind, and he would for a couple months he would just love on me, and he would do things like he'd bring me a cold drink because I was working out on the hot flight line, and He'd ask me about how I grew up, what'd you do for Passover, what'd you do for the Sabbath, you know, what was this like, what was that? And his questions were honoring.
Right.
So he didn't come across like he was trying to win me. I think if he'd come across that way, I would not have responded the same way. But the fact that he was honoring about my heritage.
Right.
That made it different. That made it like good.
Right.
So when he invited me to visit with him to his church, I felt like I had to go. And so I said, sure. But then one Sunday night, he came by the barracks where I was living. And when he did that, he said, "You ready to go?" I said, "You mean like to church now?" And he said, "Yeah, let's go." And I really felt like I was caught and I had to go.
Right.
Because
sometimes you need a little nudge. You
know? I needed a nudge. He came by, and so I did not want to go. But what happened was I was in the room, and I was just ironing my uniform for the next day. He could see that, you know. He could see I wasn't busy.
Right.
And so I went with him, and while there was a lady who, during the greeting time, she gave me a hug. This lady was old enough to be my mother.
Okay.
And there was nothing inappropriate about it, but just a hug. And when she hugged me, I had there's no way for me to explain what happened. And I don't want to make it sound super spiritual, but it kind of was.
Okay.
It was just this moment in which I said to myself, "Wow, this woman loves me."
Yeah.
And she doesn't even know me.
Yeah.
Right, and so sometimes I will actually say I was won to the Lord by a hug.
By a hug. But you know, that's so amazing. Makes me think of the scripture that says, you know, they'll know you by the love you have for one another.
Yeah,
Right. Yeah.
So she hugged me, and I remember praying, God, whatever it is these people have. They had an altar call. I didn't go forward for the altar call because I didn't know enough. I didn't know I needed to receive the Lord. I didn't know I needed to receive Jesus. Right. I didn't know anything. Right. All I knew was these people had something really good, and I remember praying, God, whatever it is they're getting out of that book, I'll read that book and I'll change my life to fit it. And I will not explain it away. And that is literally what happened. So what happened was, at the end of the service, the guy who took me to the church, he was a home cell group leader, and he worked the altars. He prayed for people at the altar. So he went down to go pray with people. And while he was down there praying with people, I'm sitting up in the balcony by myself. And eventually, when we went home, that was a Sunday. That was January 17th, 1982. I came back to the church to see the youth pastor on Friday. This is 5 days later.
Okay.
And by now I'm reading through the New Testament, right? And he says to me, I said, I can tell this Jesus. He's something special. I said, I have just got to do something for him. Maybe I can take the youth on bike rides. Maybe I can show them how to lift weights. Okay. I'm in the military. You know, maybe I can. Yeah. I got to do something for him.
So was it your impression that to be saved you had to do something? Or did you understand it that even at that point that as a result of salvation, you had to, you
wanted
something,
you wanted to do something.
I didn't have any understanding of anything like that. I mean, I literally. So he looks at me and he says, "Well, how long have you been born again?" And I look back at him, and I'd never heard the word born again.
Right.
I hadn't gotten the Gospel of John yet.
Right. Right.
I started with Matthew. So I said, born again, I've been coming here since Sunday. This is Friday, right?
Yeah.
And he said, well, maybe instead of working with the youth, maybe you should go to the young singles and you'll learn more, you'll grow more. I said, that's great. And if we prayed in his office, I don't even remember.
Right.
Mm. What I do remember was walking down the street when I left there feeling like that was really good, and all of a sudden it felt like somebody just dropped this bucket of light. Imagine a bucket of water.
Imagine a bucket of water. That is
a strange metaful.
But it felt like a bucket of light. It just fell on my head, and my immediate reaction was to break out in a grin.
Okay.
And I'm walking down the street alone in this is in Honolulu.
Okay.
And you've been to Hawaii. Yeah, tell me about your trip.
I love Honolulu.
Yeah, so I'm walking down the street, I'm alone, and I had been a drug dealer during that time.
Okay.
And when you're a drug dealer, you don't want to like call attention to yourself in a city. Right? And so, but I'm walking down the street grinning alone. And I'm trying to get this smile off my face because people are going to notice me.
Right.
Right? And I'm like, I gotta stop smiling like this, right? And I can't stop smiling. So I look down at the ground and I'm covering my face and I walk about two blocks like this and it occurs to me, what am I ashamed of?
Right.
Right? This is nothing to be ashamed of. This is great. This is the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me. And so I put my hands down and I'm just grinning.
So you were still a dealer at that time?
No, I had stopped. I had literally, because the Air Force told us that they were going to start doing urine analysis tests.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so I had literally stopped doing drugs exactly 1 month earlier to the day.
Wow.
I did not want to get caught and go to jail. They told us if we catch you, you're going to go to jail and we're going to start testing people. And,
right.
And I didn't want to go to jail. So I had literally stopped 1 month earlier to the day. And so I'm walking down the street and this hits me. And I think this is fantastic. So the next day I go to work, and I'm guarding. I'm at the entry control to like.
Well, now. So you're walking down the street with this grin.
Can't get it off. I grinned so much over the next 2 weeks. I had Charlie horses in my cheek.
Oh wow!
You know, you're making me think about Moses coming down from the mountain. You know, he had to veil his face. You didn't want anybody to see all that glory on your face. Huh?
I was grinning. I couldn't stop. So I go to work the next day, and this guy who's my friend, we were buddies. We were sinners together, right?
All right.
He comes up to me and he looks at me and says, "What happened to you? Either you just got married or you got born again."
Oh, wow.
Now, he grew up in a church world. I didn't.
Okay.
That's the second time in my life. I still didn't know the words were in the Bible.
Okay.
Right? I looked back at him. I said, well, I didn't get married.
Right.
Right? I knew I was born again. I knew I was a new person.
Right.
Right? I mean.
But you didn't know what it was called.
I didn't know what it was called. I learned then. See, going back to your question a moment ago, Eddie, I did not realize. We usually say to people something like this. If you know, say the sinner's prayer and
right.
receive the Lord.
Right.
But really, I didn't know anything about that, and I never prayed. I didn't pray the sinner's prayer. I mean, I've done it 1,000 times since. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
as you pray, God, forgive me for this
right,
and forgive me
right.
for that. But really, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says that if you'll confess Jesus as Lord,
yeah.
it doesn't say confess your sins.
Yeah.
Imagine if I were to tell my wife, hey, honey, I'm sleeping around. I don't plan on changing.
Right.
right?
But it might be an issue.
But I just want you to forgive me for my sin. Right?
Yeah, right? That could be an issue.
Right. So see, because I'm not... See, what happens is people, they want to make Jesus a savior, but they don't want to make him Lord.
Right.
And the word Lord is the word that actually in the Greek it actually means owner or master.
Owner.
So
yeah,
an owner is a person who has property. A master is a person who has a slave. And when I said to this pastor, I got to do something for Jesus. I was basically saying two things. I didn't realize what I was saying, but what I was saying was he must be resurrected.
Absolutely.
How else could I want to serve him?
Exactly.
He's
and
a
number
God.
Two, I'm
right.
saying I want to serve him.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I was acknowledging him as Lord, not as Savior. There's too many people who want to make the Lord their Savior and not their Lord. It's
they call
sort
it
of
cheap
like
grace.
It's cheap grace, and it's essentially saying, Jesus, will you be my servant?
Yeah.
Instead of I want to be your servant.
And that's
servant.
A problem.
It is a problem. And so I at that moment I was giving my life to the Lord.
And you bring up several good points, but one is you wanted to work to serve him, but you had no pretense of this service is going to submit my salvation. This service is going to gain salvation for me. That idea was not in your mind. So you.
Or was it?
No, I had no sense of what was in this for me. What I had a sense of was I want to serve the Lord.
Okay.
He is the Lord, I want to serve
God.
Him. Right.
He's the Lord. He's God. He's God's Son.
Right.
I recognize that now. He's resurrected, and I want to do something for him.
Right. But one of the hard,
I want to give my life to him.
Absolutely. And one of the difficult things to get across sometimes is, yes, I love serving and working for the Lord, but it's not to gain salvation. It's not works righteousness. I'm not going to hold on to my salvation by the works I do. No, I do these works because, well, I've seen him. I recognize who he is. He is Lord. He is Master.
Yes.
And, wow, how can he love me? Man, he loves me. And so, yes, why wouldn't I want to serve this person?
Amen. Exactly. So I... that's exactly what it was like, and I knew Donna. She was a godly woman, my wife, and I was a reprobate. Right? So I didn't want anything to do with her, and she didn't want anything to do with me. We just knew each other, right? Because what was I going to do with a godly woman? But
yeah,
one
right.
of the first things that God said to me was, "You're going to marry that woman."
Wow!
Well, I just instantly fell in love with her.
Oh wow!
And we're coming up on 37 years.
Oh, that's awesome!
And it really is awesome.
Congratulations!
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And one of the things that we really based all of our relationship on, and we talked about this earlier, was this word joy.
Yes, yes. Now you have an interesting way of looking at joy. So break it down for us.
Jesus, others, yourself.
J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and yourself.
Yeah.
In that order,
in
I
that
take
order.
In that order.
The
okay.
order matters, right? So,
okay.
So whatever it is that we're doing, God comes first.
Absolutely.
He always comes first.
He's always first.
Right? Others come before you, and then you put yourself last.
Okay.
So, and this really makes this model, as it were, makes a significant, it adds a significant piece of understanding to all of God's salvation plan. Okay, so why did God, for example, save the Jew?
Yes, so now...
Because he loves the
Gentile. He loves the Gentile.
Right? And why did God save the Gentile?
Because
he loves the Jew.
That was one of the things I got from your testimony. You said whatever they have in that book... I want it.
I want it.
You know, I think you'll hear people say, to provoke the Jew to jealousy. The Gentiles were saved to provoke the Jew to jealousy. And this is what happened with you. You looked and said, hey, they have something that I don't have.
Absolutely.
And I want it.
So when you think about it, you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 and 7, it plainly says that God chose the Jew.
Absolutely.
Okay, so then the question is, why did God choose the Jew? And sometimes I like to say it like this. Okay, so God said to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3, he says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you I'll curse, and through you will all the nations of the earth be blessed.
Be blessed. That's
so
correct.
What God was really saying there is, I want to use you to reach all the Gentiles.
Right.
Why did God save the Jew? It was because he loves the whole world.
He loves the whole world.
And so through the Jew, in Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, he gave the covenants, he gave the glory, he gave the service, which is ministry, he gave the promises, he gave faith, you know, he gave the patriarchs, and he gave the Messiah. You could say it very simply, through the Jew, he gave the Bible, the prophets, and the Messiah.
Wow.
But the
and
Jew,
that's true.
It is true, right? But the Jew needs something. The Jew needs salvation.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so he gave all of this to the Gentiles, to the world, through the Jews. But lest the Jew think that, and lest the world thinks that the Jew does not have need as well, God, in his plan, has set it up that Gentiles will be the ones who minister salvation to the Jews. And the vast majority of Jews who get saved are led by Gentiles. And so in Romans chapter 11, verse 11, the scripture says, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to make Israel envious.
That's
so
right. That's
why
right.
did God save the Jew? It's because he loves the Gentiles. Why did God save the Gentiles?
Because he loves
it's
the
because he
loves
the
Jew.
And we make a mistake when we think that it is about us.
Right.
It is never about us. So
right.
God says, for example, to the husband in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he says, likewise, husbands, so it's a two-way principle, likewise,
mm-hmm.
two-way principle.
Two-way
likewise,
street.
Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the weaker vessel, right? So that nothing hinder your prayers. In other words,
that's
if
right.
you don't take care of your wife right, God says, I'm not going to answer
I'm not going to listen to you.
Right? So we want to tell men God loves you so much that he saved your wife, when in reality what God says is, I saved you because I love your wife so much.
Yeah. That's right.
And he does love you. That's why he saved your wife.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right? So it's always, there's a cross in this. It's always about the other. So God loves the woman. That's why he saves the man. God loves the man.
That's why he saves the woman.
God loves the Jew. That's why he saves the Gentile. God loves the Gentile. That's why he saves the Jew. It's always about the other.
Always about the other and not about yourself.
Amen. And so we've got time.
Why is last?
We've got time for a break here. And I just want to remind people you're listening to Listen for the Joy. Encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. We have with us today Dr. Greg Stone and Chad Garrett, and I'm Ed Fox. We want to give you now a moment of joy. Let's have a little moment of joy.
I'm going to give you a moment of joy.
Right.
Joy is
dun, dun, dun.
So here's what I have today. We had a pastor who was hitchhiking. It's almost a true story. And he got picked up by a young man in a pickup truck. And he told the young man, he somewhat scolded the young man and said, look, you really shouldn't pick up people on the highways because for as much as you know, I could be a serial killer. And the young man said, you know what? You're right. And he said, I thought of that. But what are the odds there'd be two serial killers? So let's crank up the joy.
Crank
everybody.
Up the joy.
Our call-in number, request 9, is 972-996-3970. This program is sponsored by the Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas. We're at 1880 Mayfield Road. And we're about to have our 9th annual Burgers and Fries Just for Guys.
Oh, this is
Saturday,
exciting.
Saturday, July 27th at 10 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. And it's free to attend. It's for all men 18 years and older.
No small fries. Only big fries.
and we welcome your presence. Come on out and join us. Again, it's Saturday, July 27th at 10 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. It's free to attend, 2:30 p.m., and it's free to attend for all men 18 years and older. I will tell you, these programs, and we'll have a program for you as well as food, have enriched my life, and I trust that if you come on out, it'll enrich yours as well.
And there's also online registration for Burgers and Fries. So just go online, go to the website, church's website, and you can register online. I think that's going to be opening up on the 9th, maybe. I think the 9th, the online registration opens. So just remember, it's free of charge, but we do ask you to please register.
Good Shepherd Baptist GP.com. It's Good Shepherd Baptist GP.com. That's the church's website, and you can go on and register. So let's get back to your story, Dr. Greg Stone. Tell us more about how you came to faith and your experiences thereafter.
Well, one of the first things that happened, you know, when I started to read the Bible,
okay,
it was literally what happened. And so, because I went home and said, I'm going to read that, right? And the first thing, the very first verse of the Gospel of Matthew talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David, right?
That's
and
right.
I thought, this is a Jewish book.
I'm glad you said that, because, you know, I grew up in rural South Carolina, and we had these revival meetings. And they were great. And I often remember hearing the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But for some reason, the connection was never made. Wait a minute, these are Jewish men. These are the Jewish patriarchs. But it was often spoken of. But it's like that connection wasn't made.
So, you know, the scripture has, we have the Ten Commandments. And Paul in Ephesians says that the first commandment with promise is the commandment to honor your father and mother, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so if we're going to honor our father and mother, then in Paul says in Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, that the fathers or the patriarchs are Israel. He actually says that. So if the church is going to honor its fathers, who is it going to honor? And what better way could it honor than to present them the gospel in a loving way? Not to present the gospel in a harsh way, which is really what, frankly, Martin Luther and other people like that, right, tried to force the Jew, right? But rather to present it like, as Paul said in Timothy, how should we correct our parents? We should do it with honor.
Best.
Right, and so you don't win a Jewish person with a harsh gospel. You win a Jewish person with the gospel by presenting the gospel the same way you would try to correct your father or your mother if they were doing something that was, you'd say, that's not right. But there's a way to talk to, you know, because which one of us would want to hear something inappropriate from our kids?
Yeah.
There's a way
Absolutely.
To talk to our parents, right?
There is.
We would use that when we talk to the Jew, we can win the Jew. And that's what it takes. It takes that honor and that respect, that sense of I'm going to treat this person properly with honor.
Well, you know, I'm hearing this word over and over. Even the gentleman that approached you, that said, "Hey, let's go to church," while you in there ironing your uniform, you know, you said he asked questions that were honoring.
Very much.
And I think this applies to any time we're sharing the gospel, particularly if we know that the person we're sharing with. Maybe you know, has a different idea about God.
So think about that commandment now, that fifth commandment, for just a moment. It says, honor your father and mother.
Sure. Right.
So let's assume that commandment, it applies, we can apply it two ways. We can apply it to our biological parents.
Sure.
Right? Well, you know, animals have biological parents.
Right.
Correct.
Okay, but we can ask ourselves, we can go just a little bit deeper and say, who are our spiritual parents? And there's two ways that we could answer that question for who are our spiritual parents. We could say that it would apply to our spiritual parents, that is, the person who led us to the Lord.
Right,
but is there a group of people that are the spiritual parents of the church? And the Bible only offers one possible answer. The only way that the church will be able to get the blessing of that fifth commandment will be if they actually treat Israel as their spiritual patriarchs.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's in, and therein lies the blessing that the Bible talks about.
The blessing, exactly. That's right.
Yeah. And God wants to bless many. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "I will bless them, those, plural, right. who bless you." And then it will use the singular, him who curses
right.
you,
individually,
I will curse.
Not
so God's desire is to bless the many, the
right.
plural,
that's right.
and to curse the few. And he wants to use this group of people
Amen.
As the way of blessing the many. And before the Lord comes back, when the Lord returns to the earth, he's not coming, you know, I mean, I live in Dallas-Fort Worth, right?
Sure.
He's not coming to Dallas-Fort Worth.
He's not?
No, I grew,
oh,
up,
okay.
I grew up in New Jersey, right? And in New York City area. He's not coming there either.
That's because he's coming to rural South Carolina?
Yeah.
No? No.
He's Los not going to Los
Angeles.
According
to Zechariah chapter 14, he's going to put his feet down on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem.
All right.
Right?
Amen.
And the scripture says that he said in the last three verses of Matthew chapter 23, he said, he's talking to Jerusalem, and he says to the city of Jerusalem, "You will not see me again until you say,
that's right.
blessed is he who comes in the name
Amen.
Of the Lord." So the Lord is not going to return to the earth until Israel says, "I want to see you."
Amen.
And Israel is not going to say, "I want to see you," until the Gentiles fulfill the call of God on their life, which is to make Israel envious. So
That's
God
right.
is waiting for the church to wake up to her full purpose. This is what fulfilled actually means in Romans chapter 11, the fulfillment of the fullness of the Gentiles.
Fullness, yes.
Exactly.
It's not about a full number. See, some people will misread that, and even some of the translations will actually quantify it like
yes.
as though Romans 11 were saying, well, God has a number of Gentiles in mind, say 1,500,000,000
right.
and six,
right,
and
right.
we're only up to three. And as soon as I get three more Gentiles saved, then God will will turn to the Gentiles.
I've got somebody in mind. Right now, you want to hear it? It's Pastor Will.
Yeah.
Pastor Will and Sister Niece have just entered the radio station.
They've joined
Pastor Will.
Live studio audience.
Hey. Right. Give us a word. Come on up here.
Good afternoon. Y'all doing fine. I like the spectating stuff, man. This is all right. It's exciting to be here. Good to have Pastor Stone back with us, and I get to meet his wonderful bride and Brother Rosenberg, and his wonderful bride. Got to be a great woman to stay with him. just got to be.
Got to
be. Anyhow, I'm going to continue spectating. I'm enjoying the program. Just the one thing that I really want to add and emphasize is that when we started this program back in January, what our heart's desire was that we encourage God's children to do the evangelistic work, to do the legwork. And that's what our Burgers and Fries is going to be themed on
Absolutely.
This year. The theme on this one is returning the favor. In Acts chapter 8, you see where Philip, he gives the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch.
Sure.
In fact, everybody you see in the book of Acts receives the gospel from a Jewish man. Because unless your faith is authenticated by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your faith is in vain. And so here you see this, where these Jewish men take it to Cornelius, they take
yes.
it to the Ethiopian eunuch. Our theme is, we're just returning the favor.
All right. I like that. I like that, Pastor Will.
So I thank you all for being here. Come on out, sign up. You can start on the 9th. You can sign up online at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Skip all that website stuff and everything that Eddie's been giving you. Our IT guy is so good, even if you misspell the name, if you put Good Shepherd Baptist Church Grand Prairie, bam, you'll go right to our website.
All
so
right.
you can remember that, Good Shepherd Baptist Church Grand Prairie, and we're looking for all men ages 18 and over. We're going to have some role play. We're going to practice. Just like Brother Stone said, this gentleman just spoke up to him.
Yes.
He just said, "Hey, you know, how about going to church?" And if we even do that
in an honoring way,
yeah, it's in an honoring way. Well, as you would anybody,
as you
right?
would anyone,
just love someone enough to give them the gospel. So we're going to practice that at our Burgers and Fries. We're going to talk about it. We're going to have a Q&A at the end. And it's going to be wonderful. Looking forward to as many people who can be there to be there. I'm going back to my spectator seat.
All right.
Thank you, Pastor.
The live studio audience. So you were saying that is not a quantity.
It can't be a quantity. Because if it is a quantity, if the fullness is a quantity, then what that means is that God is not reaching the Jew right now. And if that's true, then John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should not perish, right? Then what that would mean, if it's a quantity, is that not even God is applying John 3:16 to the Jews who are alive today. And if you're trying to win a Jewish person, you are outside God's will, right? You're trying to do something that God doesn't want done.
Right.
In other words, so that, my friend, that's a doctrine of that doctrine doesn't come from God. That comes from somebody else. Okay? The fullness of the Gentiles, what that really is about, because that word fullness appears twice in the chapter. It appears in verses 11 and 12, but then it also appears in verse 25 and 26, where it talks about the fullness of the Gentiles and the fullness of Israel. And in the one place where it refers to the fullness of Israel, it can't mean a number. It's impossible. So the same word in the same context doesn't mean a number in one of the places. How can it mean a number in the other place?
Okay.
So the point is that the fullness of the Gentiles is not a number. It's the Gentiles waking up to their full purpose.
Amen.
Jewish evangelism.
Amen.
And I think it's worth mentioning here that when you become a Christian, you don't give up your Jewishness. You're still a Jewish Christian, but you're a completed Jew. I think that's a point worth noting.
And likewise, as a Gentile, I do not have to become a Jew.
Exactly.
When I become a Christian.
And that's so important. So Galatians 3:28 says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, slave nor free, right? So when it says there's neither male nor female, same verse, right? When it says there's neither male nor female, I got saved, I woke up the next day, I'm still a man.
Absolutely.
Right? And if I forget that I'm a man, I'm only confused. Right? I mean, I'm a guy, okay?
Right. And you can't be anything else but.
Right. Even my DNA will say I'm a guy.
Right.
My DNA will say that. So, we're all married men, right? We're all married men. We may not agree on all of the details of what it means to be the man of the family, but we will certainly agree that it means something.
Sure.
And you didn't give up your masculinity, and you will give accountability on the day of judgment for what you did with your life as a man. But I will not give accountability for what I did with my life as a woman.
Right, because
right? There's neither male nor female. So I want my wife to be a woman in my presence, and
yes.
She wants me to be a man in her presence. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female. Okay, so what that's saying is being a man or a woman has no advantages when it comes to salvation. You still must come through Jesus, through
that's
Yeshua.
Right.
There's no other way. Likewise, being a Jew and being a Gentile, you wake up the next day, you're still a man. You wake up the next day, you're still a woman. You wake up the next day, you're still a Jew. You wake up the next day, you're still a Gentile. The curse says that the man is superior.
Right.
The curse says
that's
the
part
woman
of the curse.
Is superior. The curse says the Jew is superior. The curse says the Gentile is superior. The fool says there's no difference.
Yes. Well, we've got a lot of that right now.
Right, yeah. I'm a man, and I'm a Jew,
yeah.
Right? And I'm going to give accountability for that on Judgment Day.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes back to your acronym for joy. It's this... John, all about Jesus. John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me.
Right. So it doesn't matter if you're Jewish.
So it doesn't matter if you're Jewish. It doesn't matter if you're Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're man or woman.
Doesn't matter.
It's all about Jesus.
The Jew is in no way superior to the Gentile. But the Gentile is in no way superior to the Jew.
And the same applies for male and female. There's
absolutely.
No way that the male is superior to the female, and no way that the female is superior to the male.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's distinct. And so
it is distinct.
Same thing. It's the same thing. There's no superiority. But we can celebrate our heritage. We can celebrate who we are. There can be a men's meeting.
Yes.
Right? Where you have burgers and fries.
Just for
right?
guys.
Just for guys.
Just for guys.
Right?
No girls allowed.
No girls allowed. You can do this, right?
And we can have a ladies' tea.
And we have a ladies' tea.
Where right? no men are allowed except
to serve. Your identity without putting down on it, without thinking, in fact, to think less of the other is wrong.
Is wrong. Right.
As a matter of fact, both of those events promote thinking more of the other
absolutely.
Than ourselves. So that at the men's, where to be a man is to love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And to be a woman is to submit yourself to your husband. So both of those events really emphasize the need to show deference to the other gender.
And God goes so far as to say that if you do not honor your wife,
yep, no prayers.
I will not yep. answer
I won't
your
listen
prayers.
To you. Yeah.
1 Peter chapter 5,
my goodness.
Verse 7.
And they bounce
my
off the ceiling, brother.
Right? Right back down to you.
All right, now.
And so look, when that happens, by the way, and this is something very important, just ask someone else to pray for you.
Okay, so now I want to go back to something. We actually touched on it in the last program. We ran out of time. But we've been talking about it a little bit today. So when Jesus comes back, the second coming, the second advent, he will plant his feet on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. So how important then is it that in the 1940s, this nation of Israel was reinstituted?
It's hugely significant because the Lord plainly said he's not going to return to the earth until Israel says they want him, right? And so we are in the stage right now where the Gentile church is beginning to wake up to her call
right.
to reach Jewish people. And so, and to do it with honor, to do
yes.
it with love, to do it with respect, right? And so,
and to crank up the joy,
and to crank up the joy, right? To make it something that a Jew would want,
yes,
right? And so the fact this is really significant. The fact that the Lord is going to return to the earth to the city of Jerusalem tells you that Israel is directly tied to the second coming.
Absolutely.
So this phrase, to the Jew first, right, that Paul
yes.
uses three times in the book of Romans, this phrase is not just about the first coming of the Lord.
It's about the
it's
second
coming. Just as much about the second coming.
Wow.
Oh, this is wonderful.
Right? In other words, to the Jew first is not past. It is the future.
It's
of
the future
the
also.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Because the Lord is not going to, he wasn't going to come the first time without reaching Israel, without coming.
That's right.
Right?
That's
to
right.
the Jew first.
That's right.
And he's not going to come the second time. To the Jew first is about eschatology. It is
yes.
about the return
yeah.
of the Lord. And this is why.
So eschatology, big word meaning
the last days, the study of the end times. So there is a book that's called the Jewish New Testament. Okay, it is a New Testament. It's fairly thick. It's as thick as a normal full Bible, like the study Bible
sure.
that I'm holding right here. This is the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. So it's a mm-hmm. pretty thick Bible.
Okay.
Okay, and so there's a Jewish annotated New Testament. It's only the New Testament, okay? And it's a study Bible, and every note in it was written by a Jewish person that does not believe in Jesus. A study Bible.
Okay, that's very interesting.
And so
wow.
At the beginning, like in any study Bible,
sure.
they have notes throughout, right?
Right.
And it's this thick.
To tell you how they translate it and
yeah,
so forth.
And so at the beginning of every book, they'll have like a few pages about the book you're about to read, like the book of Revelation.
Okay.
So the book of Revelation, it's obvious that's about the last days, right?
Absolutely.
So at the beginning of the book of Revelation, in the Jewish annotated New Testament, this is a Jewish study
of the
New Testament, written by Jews who do not believe in Jesus.
They haven't
and
met
in,
Jesus.
And in that book, in the introduction of that book, it says, and this is almost an exact quote, about the book of Revelation. This is a holy Jewish book apart from any necessary Christological emphasis.
Okay.
In other words, a Jew can read the book of Revelation and say, this is a Jewish book. And then they defend it. written by Jewish people that don't believe in Jesus.
Wow.
And so they say, and then this, these are scholars. This came out of Oxford.
Sure,
this
sure.
is an Oxford, this came out of Oxford University, this
right.
book, okay? They're the publishers. So why would Jewish people look at the book of Revelation as though it were a, quote, holy Jewish book apart from any necessary Christological emphasis, end quote?
I don't see how you can do that, though.
But they can, and here's why. It'll say things like it is concerned with the status of the synagogue. It is concerned with with what foods are eaten. It is concerned with idolatry. Right.
Well,
it
how do they explain
it
Jesus?
Mentions. They just it's a Jewish book, and actually, it's essentially saying this in the book. If those crazy Christians want to believe that this is a book about Christianity, fine,
let them
think it. It won't hurt us.
Okay.
We know Oxford said
this is a Jewish book.
Okay, so a Jew can so what does that mean? It means that the church can use the study of the last days to reach Jewish people for Yeshua.
Now, Amen. That is wonderful.
Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting.
So I'm going to interrupt our little discussion here right now, interesting as it is, and to make some introductions. We're talking to Dr. Greg Stone, and who has here with him with his wife, Donna. We've got Chad Garrett, and I'm Ed Fox, and we've got Pastor Will, who wasn't with us in the beginning. You're listening to Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. It's brought to you by Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas. We're at 1880 Mayfield Road, two lights west of 161, Highway 161. And we're going to give Brother Stone the opportunity to introduce where he's from and who he's affiliated with.
I have the joy and privilege of serving as the Jewish pastor at Gateway Church. So we actually have a Jewish ministry.
Yes, listening audience, you heard Jewish pastor, not rabbi.
Yeah,
pastor.
I actually call myself a pastor. You know, and why not? The New Testament is written by Jewish people.
That's right.
Right? And it's primarily written to Jewish people.
Yes.
Right?
This is correct.
So, and it uses the word pastor. So I consider myself a pastor. Right? And I've been a pastor since 1992. Yeah. And so I consider myself a Jewish pastor, and I grew up Jewish, and I serve as a Jewish leader in a Jewish department in a church that has as its number one distinctive DNA, which is to the Jew first.
All right. And that church again is
Gateway Church.
Gateway Church. Uh-huh.
And you can call in on 972-996-3970 and join this discussion. Again, we're at 972-996-3970. Call in and tell us your thoughts about the program or anything else that you know or want to know about Jewish evangelism.
So if we were to go back to the Revelation thing, okay, the whole idea of how Jewish is this book?
Right.
So in Revelation chapter 7, it'll actually list the 12 tribes of Israel, right? So
right.
That's correct.
It names them, right?
Yes.
And in Revelation chapter 12, it talks about a woman who's clothed with the moon and the stars,
yes.
right?
Yes.
The sun, the moon, and the 12 stars. Well, for some reason, a lot of people in the church think that that's Mary. And I'm not in any way down on Mary. I think sometimes we as Protestants fail to give her the honor that we should give her. She is the most blessed of all women. She is.
Okay? That's
I'm
what
not a
scripture
Catholic,
says.
But she is. She's the most blessed of all women. She gave birth to Yeshua.
That's right.
But recognize it. But who is this woman in Revelation chapter 12 who's clothed with the sun, the moon, and the 12 stars? In Genesis 37, there's the... Joseph has a dream in which the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bow down to him.
That's right.
And his father interprets the dream. the vision, and he says, and he recognizes that the sun and the moon are Joseph's parents, and the 11 stars are Joseph's brethren, mm-hmm. which means that the sun, the moon, and the 12 stars would be Jacob, and Rachel, and then the. And then the 12 tribes.
That's right.
So the woman in Revelation chapter 12, who's clothed with the sun, the moon, and the 12 stars, is Israel.
It's Israel.
And the church has failed to recognize that. And so Revelation chapter 12, which is about how the Satan, this dragon, attacks Israel in the last days.
You know, it's so interesting. You know, I think back, 1946.
Yeah.
There is no nation called
Israel.
And 1947, 48, now there's a nation called Israel. I think I would have been running and shouting for joy, saying, wow, what is God doing? Because I know the second advent, I know Christ is coming back to the Mount of Olives. He's coming back to Israel, but there's no Israel. Now there is one. So, you know, you talk about last days, and I know last days is a long time. But to see these things happening, I still hold that anyone who wanted to see a miracle in the last century saw one when they looked at Israel. What a miracle.
It's huge. And the year before Israel was reestablished as a nation. The year before, in 1947, the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered.
The Dead Sea Scrolls, that's correct.
So the year before the Israel as a nation was rediscovered, here's what that essentially means, is they found manuscripts that predate Yeshua's walk on the earth.
That's correct.
The entire book of Isaiah was found, the entire scroll. I have seen it. You can go to Israel, right, and you can see the scroll yourself. It's on display in the museum.
So I'm going to tell my wife that Pastor Greg said, I got to go to Israel to see the scroll.
You got to go to Israel.
And when you're there, when you're in Israel, make sure you let those Jewish folks know the plan of salvation. The fact that they need Jesus Christ, and it doesn't take away or detract from their Jewishness, but instead it completes them. It completes their Jewishness. Jesus, they need to recognize Jesus Christ as Lord, and having been risen from the dead by God
Amen.
His Father,
and not just the Jews of Israel, but also the Jews of the U.S.
Of course.
Because they also need it. And by the way, this is just an interesting, like, last days kind of thought. Okay, in the last few years, the Jewish population in the nation of Israel has gone up to about 6.5 million people.
Okay.
There are now more Jews living inside the nation of Israel than in any other nation of the planet. And you could not make that statement since the Babylonian exile.
Now, that's incredible.
More Jews in Israel, because even when the Babylonian exile ended and the Jews were allowed to go back to Israel, only 50,000 went back. The overwhelming vast majority of the Jews did not return.
Wow.
So there are more Jews now living in Israel than in any other nation of the planet, and you could not make that statement since 586 B.C.
So all of our end-time prophecy students have got to be doing cartwheels right now.
This is huge,
yes.
Right? There has been nothing like that prophetically other than the actual person of Jesus, Yeshua. Nothing of that significance since 586
B.C. B.C. That is tremendous.
That's 1948. And the Lord said in Matthew chapter 24 that the generation that sees that, okay, will not pass away until all the prophecies are fulfilled. So we are, now, what does it mean? What does a generation mean? Some people want to say, well, it means 40 years or it means 20 years. That's not what I would say. Here's how I would define a generation. As long as there's one person alive who was alive in 1948, that last person will be alive. There will be at least one person alive from 1948 who will be alive in the year the Lord returns.
That is tremendous. That is tremendous. So, you know, one thing that I hope everyone is taking away from this is that you have, in the Word of God, you have all of the information, ammunition, however you want to say it, you need to evangelize any and everyone, including our Jewish brothers and
sisters. Absolutely. So you're going to have a good friend of mine on your radio program in the near future.
We are. We're looking forward to it.
His name is also Greg
yes.
Rosenberg.
Greg,
he's here with me.
That is correct.
As well. He's been quiet because he's in the back seat.
He's
over
part
there.
Of our audience. Our
live studio audience.
But your audience is going to love Greg when they get to hear him. So
and his beautiful wife. So we're in the closing minutes. I'd like to remind our audience, those of you out there, that August is Christian Education Month at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. We invite you again to, at any Sunday you choose, to come visit the church. We're going to have a Bible quiz of sorts. It's going to be like Bible Jeopardy, but it's going to be better. So come on out and participate with us. We'll be asking questions about the Bible, and you'll hear teams give answers, and there will be winners chosen. And those of you who come out will get to witness this great event. We need to remind you that we're having the 9th annual Burgers and Fries just for guys. It's going to be Saturday, the 27th of July. It's going to run from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. It's free to attend, but you must register at Good Shepherd Baptist Church online. It's for all men 18 years and older. And this is a program, as the pastor just told you, is going to be based on giving, teaching men, returning the favor. Jews have given the gospel to the Gentiles, and now the Gentiles are going to return the favor. And we reference that eunuch. Ethiopian eunuch who, in fact, did the same. So come on out. We've got an exciting time at Good Shepherd Baptist Church at 1880 Mayfield Road in Grand Prairie, Texas. And we'd like you to be a part of that. We've got Sunday services at 10:45, Sunday school at 9:15, and we welcome you to come out and be a part of all it is that we do. Any final words for you, Pastor?
I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here with you. You guys have a great ministry. It's both the church and the radio.
Well, we've enjoyed having you, that's for sure.
It's been fun.
Yeah, we're our next program, we're going to have Pastor Greg Rosenstein and his wife,
Creature.
And that Rosenberg, sorry. And it's going to be on July 20th. Our next program will be on July 20th. It'll be from 1 to 2 p.m. And while you're out there, remember this. Crank up the joy. So until next time, for Pastor Will, Chad Garrett, Pastor Greg Stone, and Pastor Greg Rosenberg, and this is Eddie. We're going to close it out, and thank you for your time, and thank you for listening.
We don't see the... Here he comes, okay.
I think our 5 minutes were up. Yeah, we're closing that out.
Well, he said we got some time.
We got time. We have some time.
You need to know that.
I've been sitting here very studiously listening and just enjoying myself. But I'm looking forward to Brother Rosenberg. You know why I'm looking forward to Brother Rosenberg?
I don't even know why.
Because when I first met him, he said, Pastor Will, you got to understand, I'm a recovering Pharisee. And I said, okay, this ought to be interesting, you know. And so he's going to – you were with the Jews for Jesus for a while?
Did serve with them for 18 months.
For 18 months with Jews for Jesus, which is a tremendous organization that is focused on making the issue of Jesus Christ an unavoidable issue for the Jewish people. And that would be something that Good Shepherd would like to emulate as well,
yeah.
Making Jesus Christ an unavoidable issue for everybody.
Amen.
To the Jew first.
Amen.
So we are having a great time. Come on out on the on July 27th. Practice, because it's scary walking up to people talking about, hey, you want to hear about Jesus? No.
So and get out of my face.
Yeah. So come on out. You'll be among friends. You'll be among family, brothers in Christ. And we are here to encourage one another in the mission of the church, fulfilling the, as Brother Stone would say, fulfilling the mission of the church. So we thank y'all. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful evening.
And listen for the joy.
Amen.